Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. These are special times for us as we get together and meet with our Lord. It is such a blessing for me and my life and my walk, and I'm so thankful for all that Jonathan and Nikki do to help make these times possible. And I pray that these times are a blessing for you, that they help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. It's a beautiful day as we meet here. It's clearing out a little bit. It's still cool. A little too cold to meet out on the back porch, and I hope we can in a few weeks. Hope it's a beautiful day where you are. And I hope that you're enjoying a wonderful day of fellowship with the Lord and are experiencing His love and His nearness. And again, that our time together will just simply draw you even closer to Him. And since we have come to this time, and to meet with our Lord, to open His Word, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You have given to us. Lord, the opportunity to meet with You. Father, thank You for Your wonderful grace and salvation. Father, salvation that gives us the cleansing from sin. Father, reconciliation with You. Father, adoption as Your children. Father, the basis of an eternal relationship with You. And Father, as we're here, help us, O Lord, to grow in You. Help us to grow not only in a head knowledge of Your Word, but, O God, through that, O Lord, a heart knowledge, an experiential knowledge of walking with You. Father, speak to us, reveal Yourself unto us, grow us, deepen us, strengthen us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's good to be together in God's Word. And as we open God's Word today and we come to Psalm 71, we address a very specific issue. As we look at this psalm, we see someone, probably David, who has in fact walked with the Lord for many, many years, has grown, has served the Lord, and has done so for many years. But now he's come to the point in time where many years have passed. In fact, as he's old, he makes a reference of that in this passage. What now? What does he do now? I mean, is it all over for him? Will God still continue to work and move and answer and work in his life? Is he still even valuable to God? Or is he like an old athlete or an old actor who's way past his prime or no longer popular and is just kind of relegated and pushed to the side and forgotten about? And what an important thing for us to think about in our lives, especially if we've walked with the Lord for years. What do we do now? Well, as we look at this 71st Psalm, we see very clearly what we need to do. First thing is we'll work our way through this Psalm. First thing that we need to do is the fact that we need to continue to trust. You think about what we see in verses 1 through 6. In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline Your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man. For You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. For by You I have been sustained from my birth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of You. What we see here, you know, David, again, we think that's the psalmist. He looks back and over his life, it was God who had carried him. It was God who had provided for him. It was God who strengthened him. It was God who protected him. And what is it that he does now? Well, he continues to trust. He stops, he thinks, he makes the deliberate decision that he's going to continue to trust in the Lord. You know, every day as we face circumstances in our life, as we face life itself, we're really making one decision all the time. And that is, are we going to trust the Lord? As we face every circumstance, every situation, the bottom line issue is always going to be, am I going to trust the Lord? You know, we read in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." That principle, that verse is so important. It's referenced three times in the New Testament. In the book of Romans, it tells us who the righteous are. In the book of Galatians, it tells us how the righteous are, in fact, supposed to live. And then you go in the book of Hebrews, it tells us how we are, in fact, to face the very real issues of life in obedience unto our Lord. And the answer to each of them is, it is, in fact, by faith. We're made righteous by faith. We are to walk with God by faith, and we are to serve Him and face life by faith. And so the psalmist here, probably David, makes it very clear that he is in fact this same God who had carried him, provided him, protected him. He was going to trust that God. As you face your life circumstances today, and you may have known the Lord for years, you may have walked with Him for years, you may have experienced Him for many years, seeing Him work in many wonderful, powerful ways. And I hope and pray you have. But this day, and looking forward, we have a very simple decision. Are we going to trust the Lord or not? And so we need to make that decision that we will continue to trust. But then closely linked to that is the second thing that we see in the psalm. We need to continue to need. And by that I mean this, that we continue to recognize our need for the Lord. You think about what we read in verses 7 through 11. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age, which is why we realize the psalm was written by someone, probably David, in their latter years, in their old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. You think about what the psalmist does here. In spite of the fact of all these wonderful years of walking with the Lord, serving the Lord, and experiencing God work and move, he recognizes his need for God now. You know, sometimes we are prone to forget our deep need for God, especially if we've had successes or victories. Sometimes we tend to forget about the fact that it was only by God that we experienced those. And so consequently, when a problem or a circumstance comes up, sometimes, you know, what goes through our mind is, well, here we go again. I've dealt with this before. Well, this is no problem. I'm reminded of Joshua. Do you remember after they took Jericho and they looked at the little village of Ai? What was it? You know, they didn't even consult God or ask God what they needed to do. They just looked at Ai and they thought, well, man, compared to Jericho, that's a tiny little village. We can just send a few people up there and we can take it. It's no problem. And the result of which, they got beaten. They forgot their deep need of God. And of course, had they done that, God would have revealed to them that Achan had taken the things under the ban. But they forgot their deep need for God. Now you may have walked with God for years, and I hope you have. I hope that you have experienced wonderful times of God's nearness and His intervention and His provision, His protection, just the wonderful, miraculous workings of God in your life. But do not ever forget that we are deeply in need of Him right now for every breath of air that we ever take. And whatever circumstances you're facing now, you are just as much in need of God with those as you were at any great time of need in your past. We need to continue to need. We need to continue to remember the fact that we deeply need God. But then look what else we see the psalmist, probably David, do. We continue to praise. Look at verses 12 through 16. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are my adversaries or the adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day long. For I do not know the sum of them, and I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. Look at what he does in the midst of the problem. He doesn't wait till the problem is over. He immediately praises the Lord even in the midst of it. And you think, well, why is that so important? Well, obviously God is worthy of that. It draws us to Him, enables us to trust Him more. It's the essence of faith. It reminds us of who God is and what He can do. Remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison for preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 16? What was it that they were doing at midnight? Singing praises unto the Lord. What a wonderful testimony, and what a strengthening of their own faith. We need to continue to praise. And of course, linked very, very closely to that is the fact that we need to continue to worship. Look at verses 17 through 21. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heaven. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me many troubles and distresses, will revive me again. You will and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. He continues to worship God. Again, you think about what he said in verse 19. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? His focus, his attention, that was completely upon God. You know, the defining moment, the defining concept of his life was in fact seeing and knowing God. What an example for us, how we need to in fact continue to worship the Lord. You think about Moses, after God had used him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, and all that they had seen and all that they had experienced and all that Moses had experienced with God. Yet what was his great prayer? Oh God, show me your glory. You know, there's nothing greater, more richer, more fulfilling than knowing God. And there's nothing more practical or relevant than truly taking the time to worship God. I know many times we face problems and circumstances and we're in a rush to get out to deal with those things. And yet nothing is more productive and helpful than taking that time to worship the Lord, because as we see him in his greatness, the problem begins to diminish. We need to worship him. Again, very closely linked, we need to continue to rejoice. Look at verses 22 through 24. And I will also praise you with a harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue will also utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. Again, during the problem, not waiting until it's over, but he's actually rejoicing in the Lord, even in the midst of it. Again, he's worthy. It builds our faith. It's a witness. It's a testimony. How we need to continue to rejoice, because our God is sovereign. He is good in all that he does. He's unlimited in his power. He's perfect in what he does. And even before we see what he'll do in the situation, we can rejoice in him. And again, like Paul and Silas, what a testimony. What a witness. That's not to mean that we're to be fakey or artificial. But it shows the world the fact that we serve a God who is real, real, living, and sovereign. The psalmist, probably David, had walked with God many, many years. He'd had successes, he had had victories, he had had wonderful experiences. But he was still living life. He still needed God. And God was still God. And like him, you may have walked with the Lord for years. You may have had wonderful experiences, wonderful victories, wonderful deliverances, wonderful times where God met at your need. As we face this day and however many days the Lord gives us, we need to in fact face them with the Lord. We need to trust him, remember our need. We need to in fact worship him and praise him. We need to in fact continue to walk with the Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we praise you, O God, for you truly are the living and sovereign God. Lord, thank you for all the ways you have worked in our lives, O God, in the past. The deliverances, the answers, O God, the provisions. But, O Lord, may we remember how deeply we need you today, O God. May our hearts turn to you in trust and in celebration. in rejoicing and in worship. And may we once more see you in an even greater way as the all-sufficient God who can be trusted in all things. Be with us through this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you do have a good and wonderful day with the Lord. That I hope that this helps you to grow in your walk and your relationship with Him. And I hope however much you have seen Him work in the past, and I hope that's a lot, that you'll see Him work even more today and in the days to come.